Sup, everyone.
Hey, how's it hanging?
I'm Kristen, and that's Jen, and this is Macabre Traveler,
your travel and history podcast for the things that love to scare you.
And in advance, I want to apologize for my snuffliness and my sneeziness. I think there are little gnomes living in my nose, and every once in a while, they just jab a broom handle in my nostrils, and they're like, hey, it's time to sneeze.
That's actually me.
Because my allergies are super bad.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's Jen's spirit dancing across the waves, or however the internet works. Which I still don't know. Like, I don't know how the internet works.
Well, I don't know. Al Gore invented it. Let's ask Al Gore.
Hello, Al Gore.
Hello, this is Al Gore.
But you were totally right about climate change, by the way. But also, how does the internet work?
It's the gnomes in
Can
Kristen's nose.
Travel through and poke my nose. Happy daylight savings time, by the way.
Yeah, fuck daylight savings time, man.
Oh my god!
I think it's
I
wake
up till almost noon yesterday.
Oh my god! I know the first. Our time frame was really messed up, and it's already messed up because of the pandemic. So thanks. Like
right?
This is not necessary right now.
We're like spiraling into this alternative reality where we're like, I didn't think time was real, and now with the pandemic and daylight savings, I'm like, it's all an illusion.
Yeah. It's all an illusion.
It's all an illusion.
So daylight savings time sucks. So today we are hopping back across the pond to Ireland, specifically to Leap Castle, spelled L-E-A-P like leap, but pronounced Lep because Gaelic is weird.
So weird. I mean, this is like one of the least weird, but I know when I was researching this, some of them, we'll get to it, but I was like, what? And then I would like go to the internet and be like, how do you pronounce this? And Google would be like, I don't know.
Yeah. My brother and I tried to learn Irish Gaelic because there's a difference between Irish Gaelic and Scottish Gaelic. They're two different languages.
Of course there is.
So yeah, right. So my brother and I were trying to learn Irish Gaelic and just like failed miserably. He did a better job than I did, but like we were trying to do it over email, so we didn't know how to pronounce anything, and then we just got frustrated with the weird spelling. And then I tried to do the Irish Gaelic on Duolingo.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, it makes no sense. I love the language. I think it's gorgeous, but
yeah,
the spelling doesn't match the sound.
Well, and then it's a totally different thing when someone's speaking a language, like, not slowly on Duolingo, mm-hmm. and they're just speaking it as they speak. Like, I love the French language, and when I'm on Duolingo, I'm like, oh, blah, 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 this is, yes, I get it. And then when I'm speaking to someone in French, they're like, and I'm like, oh, you know, I don't speak French.
Yeah, I had to learn how to tell people to slow down in French.
Yeah, never mind. I'm just gonna go back to my pretentious little mind.
Okay.
And order my wine in French. And that's it.
Excellent.
I can order a chocolate croissant. That's all that
matters.
That's
what matters.
Oh, so back to Ireland. Leap Castle is located in County Offaly. No, that was British. County. I'll just hop all around my accents today.
That's fine.
Probably Jamaican will come out at some point. County Offaly, Ireland. It's about 6 kilometers north of the town of Roscrea. No, don't know what that was either. Roscrea. And 10 kilometers south of Kinnity. Pretty much smack dab in the middle of Ireland.
There you go. That was Irish.
Leap Castle, eh? Nope. Leap Castle is one of the longest continually inhabited castles in Ireland. Now I'm just looking at words and I'm like, I don't know how to talk.
Yeah.
The main part was built somewhere between the 13th to 15th century, but everywhere I looked, it said this. It said it was built somewhere between the 13th to 15th century, but people mostly agree it was somewhere around 1250. And I'm like, so why do you keep saying it was somewhere around there?
Yes.
Everyone pretty much agrees it was around 1250.
Clearly the 13th century, so...
Yeah. It's been used as a fortress, a home, and a tomb. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun,
dun. So, Lepp Castle has been visited by paranormal investigators from the scariest places on Earth, the show Most Haunted, Ghost Hunters, and our boys Ghost Adventures and Zach Bagans. The castle describes itself as the world's most haunted castle.
So there are many factors that attribute to giving Lepp its sinister reputation. Most of them revolve around decades of bloodshed and tragedy. It was built by the O'Banion clan and called Lim Ibanion.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Ibanion? Lim Ibanion.
Yeah.
I think that was closer.
I think so.
For two possible reasons. One, because the soil around the castle was really fertile, which I guess makes it a leap. That was one explanation I saw. Mm. But the more fun possibility is because, you guessed it, murder.
Murder. So before it was even built, two of the O'Banion brothers were fighting all the time about who was going to inherit their father's land and riches and blah, 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 blah. Same story, different day. So according to legend, these two knuckleheads decided they'd jump off a big rock on the grounds of the future castle, and whoever didn't smash their head would win and also live. So there's that.
Which would literally make it O'Banion's Leap. Or, more appropriately, toxic masculinity dummy jump.
Fucking lemons. I said lemons. Fucking
all
lemons.
These little lemons rolling off the hill. They're like, oh no, not again.
Oh, lemmings. Anyway.
Lemmings. It's actually pretty cool. There's evidence that the O'Banion's castle was constructed on top of another ancient structure that might have been used for, like, druid ceremonies. And it's the whole area around there has been occupied pretty consistently since Neolithic times.
And the druids themselves say the area is really dense in spiritual energy. But what's interesting about this is that most castles and churches were actually built on older pagan sites, just in general, all over Europe. And it's basically a part of mankind's continual mission to erase both me and my heritage from the planet while stealing our ideas and our sacred sites. So, Lepp Castle is also right on the crossing of two ley lines, which we can cover at another time, but basically it means that at that point, the veil is thin between the physical and spiritual realms, so it's pretty much always Halloween at the intersection of ley lines.
Ooh!
Yeah, and whatever happens in a place like that is more likely to leave a deeper mark on both sides for both good and bad.
So the O'Banions were actually secondary chieftains of the land, kind of like tenants to the ruling clan, who were the O'Carrolls. So they all fought a lot over who had the biggest shamrocks and who was always stealing me lucky charms.
Damn leprechaun. And as Zach Bagans says on the Ghost Adventures episode for Lepp Castle, their murderous rage left blood soaking into the stones for decades.
That was so good.
Thank you. I had a note in myself for the notes that says, say it spooky, just so I could do it right.
All right, so as is the case with castles and men with big egos and tiny minds, the castle was fought over for centuries. O'Banions, Fitzgeralds, O'Carrolls, etc., etc., etc. But it was retained by the O'Carrolls by 1557. And history tells us that the O'Carrolls were an extremely vicious and hostile people with an insatiable lust for power. They killed even their own family members just to get to the top, which brings us to our next story.
Yeah, so in 1532, the O'Carroll brothers, who have amazing names, Thaddeus and Taig, were having...
That's a great name, Taig.
Yeah, Taig. I had to Google how to pronounce it because I thought it was Teague. But no, it's spelled T-E-I-G-H-E, which is apparently pronounced Taig. But Thaddeus and Taig were having a big fight among themselves. The patriarch, Mulrooney O'Carroll. Mulrooney O'Carroll died, and a fight broke out between the brothers over who was going to lead the family. So one day, Thaddeus, he was a priest, he was giving mass in the castle chapel. Taig burst in, rude, and fatally stabbed him with a sword, and Thaddeus fell across the altar and died. The chapel from that point became known as the Bloody Chapel. Thaddeus is said to haunt the chapel to this day, one of a few O'Carroll family members who can't let go of the castle or take the lep to the other side.
But tis.
So in 1659, the castle was passed in marriage to the Darby family. When the writer Mildred Darby, who wrote Gothic novels, lived there with her husband Jonathan, she held seances in the castle. Mildred was known to her friends as Millie, and she sounds fucking rad. She was 20 years old, and Jonathan was 35 when they moved into Lepp Castle. She wrote under a pen name, though, Andrew Mary, and was very successful, which really pissed off her stick-up-the-ass autocratic husband. He was definitely not excited when, in 1898, she published a story called A House of Horrors, based on Lepp Castle, in Belgravia, a London magazine. And I mean, God forbid women writers get their due respect, right? Like, what an asshole that she had to write under a pen name because he wouldn't let her be.
Yeah. And that, like, he was recognized. Like, yeah, and he was like pissed off about it.
Yeah.
So in the story, she fictionalized the castle and the people in it, but it was pretty clear that it was an account of their lives at Lepp. The names were similar, the location. Jonathan said he'd never forgive her for writing it. He claimed the ghost stories were nonsense and is quoted as saying, "The only spirits in this house are in the cellars."
So did she refer to him as, like, Tomathan?
It was like Jonathan with an O instead of an A.
Yeah. No. So the castle was expanded several times and paid for by raising the rents on local tenants. Super nice. Sometime during these renovations, workers found an oubliette behind a wall in the chapel. So an oubliette is basically a hole in the ground where people were dropped, thrown, or stepped into from a trap door and left to wallow at the bottom until they died. The word oubliette means to forget. And what I learned earlier was that the word for the entryway into an oubliette is called an Angstloch. So Loch means hole in German. So it's basically a hole of angst, which is pretty intense. And also very clever in, like, a really terrible way.
They're often built high up in the castle, too, so that when you land at the bottom, you are, like, tortured by the sounds and smells of life going on all around you. Like, think about it, like, people are walking up and down the stairs around you, like, almost within reach. Like, you can hear their footsteps, you can hear them laughing, you can hear them running, you can smell, like, the, like, food cooking, the smell of the fires cooking the food, like, but it's all just beyond your reach, and you're just laying there, like, starving and dehydrating to death.
Kind of like our lives during a pandemic. Like, everything is just out of our reach. So basically COVID is our personal oubliette.
Except we have Netflix. It's like a Netflix oubliette.
Yeah, where you forget about life. So at the bottom of the oubliette in Lepp, human skeletons were found. Some were impaled on wooden spikes, and it took 3 cartloads to remove all of the bones. There were something like 150 bodies in there. I had to look it up.
Yeah, because they were, like, the first thing I read was, like, three cartloads to remove all the bones. And then I was watching this YouTube video with Sean Ryan, the current owner, and he was, like, 3 horse carts. And they were, like, a what cart? He was, like, a horse cart. And they were, like, a horse cart? And he's, like, yeah, a horse cart. And he's, like, they were, like, well, how much is that? And he was, like, it was about 150.
Wow.
I was like, oh, I mean, I wouldn't know how much a horse cart is.
Yeah, you have to get into the calculation of how many bodies fit into a horse cart.
A horse cart, sorry. It's so amazing. I was like, I just want to listen to this guy say horse cart all day. So it's believed when the O'Carrolls, because they were so vicious and bloodthirsty and whatever, when they were in charge, they would drop people through the trapdoor, like, all the time. I mean, willy-nilly. And then they would just fall, like, 8 feet or so onto the spikes below. And, like, oh my God, imagine, like, you're not just dropped onto a floor. Like, 8 feet's not that high of a fall. So, like, you could survive. And then you would just, like, starve to death or whatever. But if you fell 8 feet onto a spike, that's definitely enough to, like, impale you.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you just lay there and, like, bleed out. Or, like, have, like, a impalement wound.
Yeah.
For however long.
Yikes.
So that was pretty long ago. But then, during their excavations, a pocket watch was found in the remains of all these bodies dating to just the 1800s, which isn't that long ago.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it was, well, maybe it was just someone randomly murdering somebody.
Do you think the watch was still working?
I think it probably stopped, like, the exact moment that the man died.
And then it started ticking when they picked it up?
Yeah, exactly.
And the man's hand reached over?
Yeah, and was like, give me back my watch. So, to add to the creepiness, people have seen an old man whose skeletal in appearance crawl out of the oubliette before vanishing. He's probably looking for that watch.
In 1922, some of the tenants refused the rents that were kept being put on them to, like, you know, make the castle even more castle-y. And things got, like, super awkward and tense between the tenants and the Darbys until finally shots were fired through the castle windows and the castle garden was destroyed.
And in spring of that year, the Darbys fled from the castle and went to live with their grown daughter in Longford. That July, a group of local men broke into the castle, smashed the furniture for firewood, looted the rest, and set the castle on fire.
That gets a point across.
Yeah.
So the castle sat pretty much wrecked until 1974, when it was bought by an Australian historian, Peter Bartlett, whose mother had been an O'Banion. He and a builder extensively renovated the castle until he died in 1989. I know there was, like, another owner in there for a couple years, but he owned it so briefly that it didn't really pop up much.
Yeah. Well, and like Kristen said, the current owner is musician Sean Ryan. He got it in 1991. We think he plays the tin whistle. We're not 100% sure.
He does.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great. So it's a pretty fluty type of music. But he and his wife Anne bought the castle in 1991, and they continue to renovate it. And apparently Sean is pretty eccentric, and he conducts the tours of the castle himself.
Yeah, he's on, like, all kinds of videos, and you can see him on YouTube. He's adorable. Very eccentric, he's an older man. The Harris Cart talks openly about the spirits. And both he and Peter Bartlett say that they experienced bizarre activity during the renovations. Peter Bartlett didn't get specific, but there are mentions from him to a friend that he witnessed an incredible amount of poltergeist activity at the castle.
Yeah, Sean Ryan didn't really mention much about a poltergeist. He talked about some less intense stuff, like people getting touched. And he said there are periods of heightened activity where it's like there are more shadows around, kind of manifesting before your eyes. He says sometimes there's screams, which he thinks are two little girls named Emily and Charlotte, but we'll discuss that in a couple minutes. He also talks about tools getting moved around, and he had a carpenter working for him who left suddenly and never came back with no reason given.
Another story was that Sean's ladder was suddenly pushed away from the wall that he was working on, forcing him to jump several stories, fracturing his kneecap. And then when he resumed work, another accident resulted in a broken ankle.
Yeah, so let's jump to the spirits of Lepp Castle before we get to the famous elemental presence. We even have a few firsthand accounts that we'll read through.
There are thought to be at least 19 spirits in the castle, ranging from a banshee to a couple of children to a phantom light. The light apparently still glows to this day when no one is there.
I just wanted to talk about banshees for a minute. So my family's Irish on my mom's side, and I have been hearing about banshees since I was, like, really, really little.
Yeah.
From my grandpa and then my mom, and I always wanted to see a banshee. Like, I know it would, like, mean certain death if you see the banshee, but I still, like, it just sounds so cool. I mean,
maybe in, you know, 50 years, you can see one.
When I'm dead?
When you die. Like, right before you die. But, like, I don't want you to see one now.
No, I mean, I feel like the banshee and I might get along. So it could come, like, screeching in through my window. And I'd be like, sup, banshee? And they'd be like, oh, you know me. And I'd be like, yeah, what's up? And they'd be like, okay, just come in to say hi. And then they would go away and we'd be friends forever. Would have
They'd be like, oh, since you know me, I'm not going to take you to your grave.
Yeah, we would have friendship bracelets that say Erin Go Bra, and we would get together for dinner on St. Patrick's Day. Me, it would, there would be a series of children's books, me and my friend Banshee.
Except since it's a banshee, it would be like Erin Go Bra!
Exactly. So,
just me and my banshee.
Me and my banshee.
A little girl and her demon spirit.
That's right. So aside from the banshee, there's also a red lady ghost. Some report she's half clothed or barely clothed and is reported to walk the halls holding a dagger.
And then there are two little girl ghosts, which always makes me sad that children would get caught.
Yeah.
They're apparently named Charlotte and Emily, and they're reported to run up and down the spiral staircase. Apparently, Emily died after she fell from the battlements on top of the castle's tower. They say Charlotte might have died from a childhood illness of some sort, because she didn't die from a fall, but she is a child spirit. And she's running around calling her sister's name, which is so sad.
It's really sad. So Mildred Darby, the author who lived in the castle, had some comments also about what happened in the castle. So she said, and I quote, "Noises like furniture being moved were frequently heard at night, and strangers staying with us have often asked why the servants turned out the rooms underneath them at such an unusual hour. The front doorbell sometimes rang, and I have gone down, but found no one."
And the current owner, Sean Ryan, also claims that he's heard chanting coming from outside the castle. Ooh. And has heard his name being called.
Oh, it's like the Roanoke episode of American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Spooky.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was so spooky.
It was. Other reports include people not sleeping well or feeling like someone or something was hovering over the end of your bed.
But let's talk about the elemental, which may be the scariest presence we've talked about yet.
It's so cool. So elementals are different from a spirit or a ghost haunting because it was never human to begin with. They're said to be supernatural entities that are composed of or attuned to the natural elements. And they're so, understandably, there are four types, one for each element.
So from what I see, what I read, there are gnomes for earth, undines for water, sylphs for wind, and salamanders for fire.
Yeah, and we don't know why or how or even what the elemental is at Lepp Castle. The stories vary, but we're going to cover the most popular ones.
Yeah, and the elemental has been mentioned in the castle since early times, or at least a strange, troublesome spirit has been mentioned.
One theory of its origin is that the druids conjured the elemental long before the castle was even built, to protect the site when it was used for ceremonies and initiations.
Another theory is that the elemental was placed there by one of the invading clans, hoping to hurt the castle from the inside. Like maybe one of the Fitzgeralds did it. Specifically, Gerald Fitzgerald. Why? Why would you do that to your kid? That'd like if, it'd be like if you were named Jennifer McJennifer.
That is my name.
Gerald Fitzgerald was a well-known magic practitioner and kept trying to overtake the castle.
And there's another theory, too, that the elemental is the spirit of an ancient O'Carroll who died from leprosy, and their facial features seem to be decomposing and the spirit is smelly. So remember Mildred Darby, oppressed writer and wife of stick-in-the-mud Jonathan? So apparently she was said to have dabbled a bit in the occult, adding to why I think she's awesome. She did seances and automatic writing and things like that, and some say it was her dabbling that either awoke or summoned the elemental, whatever it is.
And of course, it was right around this time that the cartloads of bones, of bones were discovered in the oubliette, which may have caused a huge energetic or spiritual release. Perhaps enough to wake a dormant spirit?
Maybe, maybe. But shortly after all of this, old Millie had her first of two terrifying encounters with the elemental. She called the spirit It, or the Thing. And in her words, this is what happened. "I was standing in the gallery looking down at the main floor when I felt somebody put a hand on my shoulder. The thing was about the size of a sheep. Thin, gaunt, shadowy. Its face was human. To be more accurate, inhuman. Its lust in its eyes, which seemed half decomposed in black cavities, stared into mine. The horrible smell, 100 times intensified, came up into my face, giving me a deadly nausea. It was the smell of a decomposing corpse."
Her second encounter with the elemental, or It, was described in a letter to a friend. "On the 25th November, 1915, two of our servants, knowing the master would be late and that I was driving that afternoon, had invited friends, two soldiers from the barracks at Burr, distant the other side, 6 miles. They came rather late, and my husband came home early, so the visitors had to be kept out of his sight in the lower regions of one of the wings, the priest's house, and were unable to be shown the center tower, the very lofty hall. At 7:15, my husband and I went up to dress for dinner. My room, an extremity of houses from kitchens, his dressing room next door to me. Whilst dressing, I was startled by a loud yell of a terror-stricken male, and female voices coming apparently from the hall, and ran out to see the cause. My husband was out ahead of me at his heels. I passed through corridor of the wing and onto the gallery. On the gallery, leaning with quote-unquote hands resting on its rail, I saw the thing, the elemental, and smelt it only too well. At the same moment, my husband pulled up sharply about 10 feet from the thing, and half-turning, let fly a volley of abuse at me, ending up, quote, dressing up a thing like that to try and make a fool of me. And now you'll say I've seen something, and I have not seen anything, and there is nothing to see or ever was, end quote. This last speech was without pause, and he began waving one hand at the thing. He ended up stalking back to his dressing room, still abusing me for trying to give him a fright. As he was speaking, the elemental grew fainter and fainter in its outlines until it disappeared. He never made any inquiry as to the yell that called us both out, and from that day to this has not mentioned the incident to me. I heard from our servants that when we went to dress for dinner, they brought their friends just to show them the hall, when all four had suddenly seen and smelt the elemental looking down at them from the gallery. They all got such a turn, they couldn't help letting out a bawl, then fled to the servants' quarters, where all four were very sick. The next day, the two maids gave Millie letters claiming that they had to immediately go home to visit their families, and they never returned.
I mean, understandably, that's pretty screwed up, so...
Yeah. And I mean, their boss also sounds like an asshole.
That's true, yeah. There's also a letter that relates a personal encounter while staying at the castle, and I believe it was about the same encounter Mildred had. And it says, I saw your eyes fixed upon something above our heads, and the next minute my own eyes were filled by the sight of a thing in the gallery looking down at us. There was plenty of light from the lamps in the hall, and the one above on the wall at the corner of the gallery, for every one of us to see quite plainly the gray-colored figure about the height of a small grown-up person looking down at us. I wish I thought I could ever forget the sight of that gray figure, with dark spots like holes in its head instead of eyes, standing with gray arms folded on the gallery railing looking down at us. Then, just as he put foot on the gallery, the thing that he saw there that we were watching suddenly faded out of sight. The thing did not move, only became less and less visible until it vanished.
And then this is a much more recent firsthand experience from 2002 from an investigation that happened there. I traveled to Lepp Castle in order to make a show for a local TV network, and this was my first time in the notorious castle I'd heard so much about. So the show went well, but I wanted to try the UV on the camcorder while still shooting. I had sensed something down the old access to the battlements and never went down. I climbed the stairs with the camcorder in front. The light from the UV allowed me to see about 6 feet ahead and no more, so I climbed slowly. I opened the Gothic-style door and made my way slowly down the narrow passage, about 10 feet in. I thought I saw something move and I lifted my head. I could feel something was wrong, but I had no idea what. This time, with the camera dropped, I thought I saw a glow come from around the corner, and then it went back in. I stood and studied this for a while and thought it may be a side effect of the UV, which can be common. But a few steps more and my body was weakening fast. It was a strange sensation. Suddenly this mass of white-like mist raced around the corner like a bull. Even the rubbish on the floor scattered as it had approached at speed. The passage was tight and I turned to my left to try and get out, but it was too late. I felt the pain as if someone had just pierced under my right rib cage and it went all the way through to my back. This startled me a little, and we proceeded to arrange shooting in the cellars. The audio refused to tape again in the cellars, and I felt really odd. I was sweating heavily and was becoming very weak and drowned in dread. Right after the incident in the tunnel, it felt as if there was a hole in my chest and had been punctured on a spiritual level, and my life was seeping into the stones. In order to describe it and let the reader understand, they would have to experience a large blood loss sometime in their lives. As they felt the blood drain and this weakness would become more prominent. In other words, they were experiencing the onset of death. I was dying.
This elemental is serious business.
Yeah.
This last personal encounter with the elemental took place in June 2006. And it reads, I looked into the darkness of a corridor that exited the spiral stairway. I became aware of the smell of sulfur. It was as if boxes and boxes of matches had suddenly been lit at once. I looked at my friend who had taken me to visit Lepp Castle. He could also smell the sulfur. I stared into the darkness of the corridor and had the impression that a beast like a bear or lion was staring back at me. The tension was rising like a ticking time bomb. My friend then closed the door and said, "To let sleeping dogs lie." Meaning, sometimes you just have to leave things alone. He was a friend of Sean Ryan, and I certainly did not want to disrespect either of them by stirring up the elemental. The elemental has the potential to cause great harm to anyone receiving the brunt of an attack. One belief is that the elemental has the ability to alter the atmospheric pressure, generally lowering it. The polarity of atmospheric ions fluctuates and triggers a condition known as serotonin hyperfunction syndrome. This can cause symptoms like heart palpitations, nausea, vomiting, sweating and chills, tremor, dizziness, and fatigue. It has also been seen that skin and hair will have an electrical charge. This theory has been generated over the last 10 years, and it is interesting to note similarities between these symptoms and those described by Mildred Darby in the early 1900s. I felt every hair on my head separate and move, for my flesh all over my body and scalp crept, and every hair on my head stood straight on end. The absolute weakness that came over me, the seeming cessation of the pulses of life, the grip in heart and brain, the deadly numbness which rendered me incapable of thought, word, or action when I first saw that awful beast.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see it.
Me too, big time.
Whatever it is, it seems to only act when it's provoked somehow. The Ryans, who have lived there since 1991, claim to have never felt its presence, and they also comment that they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like Mildred Darby could have been provoking it with her occult work, whether she wanted to or not. And others, you know, in investigations or whatever, are obviously looking for it or trying to somehow call it forward, whether it's for a good reason or not, you know, whether to study it or to capture it somehow. But it seems like it only comes around when you're trying to get it.
Yeah, but regardless, whatever the elemental is, it sounds like a lot of people have had very real encounters with something that just wasn't of this world at Lepp Castle. And I would love to experience it.
Yeah. And then probably never sleep again. But
right, of course.
You know, we'll just add it to the list. So if you want to visit, you can ask Sean himself for a tour. It's definitely on our list. We'll put the resources in the show notes. And I guess you can go on a tour. And Jen, you have a friend that has stayed there?
Yeah, so they don't really advertise it that I know of, but Sean will let you stay there sometimes if you ask really nicely, I guess. I had a friend who did and said it was pretty spooky. He was actually, we're in a ghost hunting group together, so it was, like, perfect for him, obviously. But I unfortunately don't remember a whole lot of what he said about it, but it was a fairly spooky experience from what I recall. So that's about it for Lepp Castle, but before we go into our sources, let's take a minute for some boring sponsored ads, because we all gotta get paid, y'all.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby.
And have ourselves a snack.
Get ourselves a treat.
All right, so for today's sources, we used the Lepp Castle website. We used the Ghost Adventures Season 2, Episode 8, Lepp Castle and Hellfire Club. And we used Lepp Castle is the most haunted castle in Ireland, and this story proves it. By Mark Lyon, an Irish Central.
Very unbiased source.
Yeah. So we'll put Sean's contact information in the show notes so you can go on a tour and also beg him to let you stay. But otherwise, yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.